In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we will continue these services and will quieten our hearts in the God's words, which are written in Romans chapter 5 from verse 1 through 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. This portion of the Bible, the title is Assurance of Salvation. How is it, dear listener, are you assured of salvation? Are you sure of your faith? Do you doubt ever? I believe that many of you with me have oftentimes doubted this, that do I have the strength to believe? Will I remain believing so that I will reach home? On the other hand, you may have had thoughts that, is it this flock exactly who are going to heaven? Someone might have had thoughts about this, that, is this whole Bible true? Is this the Word of God? And are things happening as it is written here? But dear listener, this portion of the Bible, which we just heard, shall encourage us to believe. It shall strengthen our faith. It tells of the foundation of our faith. And you, dear listener, who are not yet believing are seeking for the foundation of your faith. This is inviting you also, this Bible portion, to God's kingdom. In our text's first verse, there already were many important matters of our faith. It started in this way, that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. This is for us people who have taken faith as a gift. And here it is said how our God has made this. So God is the actor. And faith is talked about here. In letter of Hebrews, it is said that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everyone needs personal faith so that they would be acceptable to God. So, how do you receive this faith? John writes in his gospel, in the portion what is known as a short gospel, where it is summarized what God's salvation plan is. And in this gospel, it is said in this way, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Here it was said very clearly what our faith is based on. Firstly, on this, that God loved us. God is the actor. God loved a sin-fallen man so much that he even in paradise had this plan how he will save a sin-fallen man. A man was created as an image of God, as a creature, everlasting creature. But this was broken, and through sin, and the pay of the sin was death. But God, he had a salvation plan for this sin-fallen man, and he gave this promise here in paradise that he would send his only Son on this earth. God in the image of man to atone for a man's sin. And this atonement work Jesus did on the cross on Easter, and the pay of sin, death, was won. But this resurrection, it was to the human mind an incomprehensible matter, and it can only be owned through faith, that you believe that Jesus died for my sins also. And when a man believes in this, he is acceptable to God. And the pay is an everlasting life. It is incomprehensible to the human mind. And we cannot understand this with our human minds. Faith is needed in this. And that is what is meant here in the letter of Hebrews, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is faith? In the letter of Hebrews, it is answered also, which is the only definition of faith in the New Testament, which we heard in the previous sermon's ending, when in the letter of Hebrews it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. We cannot justify Jesus' resurrection with scientific knowledge. But we read it from the Holy Word, which God has made possible to happen. Throughout the years, thousands of years, up to today, it is up to our faith. Do we believe this message? But faith is a strong courage and also strong trust to trust, and we do not doubt it, even though we do not see it. This is what our faith is founded on. And there Paul writes to the Corinthians that our faith would not be based on the wisdom of man, but the power of God. In the gospel, we have the power of God. God's peace, or God's power, is seen here, how Jesus awakens from death. And this gospel we preach even in today's time, it is nothing, no invention of man. And it is such a great power that it makes one person, makes possible for one person to move to God's kingdom. And it gives us hope of not everlasting damnation, but everlasting life. This is how strong God's power is, and it brings us home to heaven one day. And then our text continues in this way, that says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Have you thought of what righteousness means? It is something that in many sermons we hear. And it is in our spiritual vocabulary. It is a word that goes in our heart, our ears, and comes out. But what does it really mean? This righteousness, it means right-minded. And God is righteous. God is right rightly minded, right minded. And this Finnish word righteousness, it consists of two words, van and hurskas. So hurskas means wise. We say that you do not become a righteous than a crazy. And then this first portion of the word van means strong or hard. And when you translate this vanhurskas word, you would translate it in rightly wise, which means God. When God influences in man's heart, we, and this man believes, we speak of this man as righteous, because he is acceptable to God, and he is a partaker of salvation, and he is a person with a hope of heaven, and he once will reach heaven. And God has brought you to righteousness who believe. And then this same verse continues. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in the Galatians, and where these love, joy, and peace are mentioned, and so on. When a person has sin on their conscience, their mind is restless. And when a person searches for help for their situation, how to get rid of their sins, the gospel is the medicine. The gospel forgives all our sins in Jesus' name and blood. And when this happens to a person's conscience, it brings with it peace. Sin does not weigh us down, and we have peace on our conscience. And of this peace, John writes in his gospel, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And this is Jesus' own sermon, his farewell speech or sermon. And it is a marvelous peace when it is God's peace, when we are the owners of God's peace. It is not a peace of man, but peace of God. This peace of God also gives strength to trust in God's guidance in this, in our temporal lives. Even if this life consisted of nothing. But when we believe that God has not forgotten me, it also strengthens our faith. That we have conscience, God's peace in our conscience, this feeling is very marvelous. Many times we speak of believers as being blessed. And this word blessed is something we might not think about often what it really means. You might be familiar with this. Do you have this blessed feeling? And this happy feeling. Blessed means happy. Happy after some situation. But when we speak of this about faith, we talk of this supernaturally happy matter. It is a supernatural matter when a person believes. And this is what blessed means. When you are happy in your faith, saved and blessed. Isn't this something, some place where we want to be, some state? And then this verse continues. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice. Doesn't this mean that our faith is a joyful matter? We might forget about this in our everyday lives, that faith is a joyful matter, even though in our tribulations we have temptations, sin. We offend one another. But when we get to put sin away and believe the gospel, it makes our mind joyful. And we can rejoice in this, that we can be believing. We can be a child of God. It is the greatest matter in which we can feel joy. And then this portion of the text continues about this joy. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Does this feel like a difficult tick that we can feel joy in tribulations? I myself, at least, feel in this way. But it is written here in this way, and it is explained in this way, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. This is one of life's contradictions, that our tribulations raise us or make us grow. And with our human minds, we understand that when we congratulate one another, we hope for everything good, that they would not have any difficulties. But God allows also tribulations, and of these we go through and we understand how these tribulations have taught us, and they have given us patience and experience And even with faith matters, it is so that when in God's kingdom we have contradictions, we have heresies. And on the other hand, the world challenges us, and we need to, together with the Holy Spirit, mutually think about this. What is a good solution? What is the right direction to go? They might feel like tribulations, but they are also given to us so that our faith would be tried. And in these situations, when we need to ponder faith's matters, they force us to focus on matters of faith. In everyday lives, our viewpoints might be very temporal, and we may focus on everyday matters, but when God allows these tribulations, even in our faith lives, then more sensitively we discuss about matters of faith together with others and ask what others think of these worries. And at times we may have to make choices, decisions. Who do I want to follow? And what do I want to follow? And in these tribulations, God clarifies which is his way, where his kingdom is, and do I want to belong in this flock? And do I believe that this flock is reaching heaven? In these situations, we oftentimes feel weakness in our faith. But even here, with the Holy Spirit, we are comforted. Paul writes in the letter of 2 Corinthians, "Be content with my grace, for my strength is made strong in weakness. Therefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, difficulties, persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. It is when I am weak that I am strong." Isn't it, dear listener, a comforting message that when you feel weakness in faith, that according to the Bible, specifically, when we are weak, we are the strongest. And this we can believe, all of us, personally. But this matter, Luther has also pondered. And Luther writes of this matter when a believer feels in this time, this strange feelings of strangeness. But Luther writes, "The righteous has peace with God and no tribulation in the world, because he lives in the Spirit. But the unrighteous, which is an unbeliever, has peace with the world, but no tribulation with God, because he lives in the flesh. But the righteous has peace with God, and therefore has tribulation with the world. And an unbeliever does not feel tribulation with the world, but maybe feels tribulation with hearing God's word. Is it, which one do you choose for yourself? This also Luther continues, but as the spirit is eternal, so the peace of the righteous and the tribulation of the unbeliever will be eternal. And on the other hand, and as the flesh is temporal, so the tribulation of the righteous and the peace of the unbeliever will be temporary. Doesn't this clearly remind us? Which will be worth to choose? Everlasting peace or temporal peace or eternal trouble or this temporal trouble? When a person owns faith, the pay is everlasting peace. And doesn't achieving this, isn't it worth it to suffer for reaching our heavenly home one day? Not so that we would suffer these troubles, but suffering because we believe, because our faith is founded on this, that God has saved us through the atonement work of His Son, Jesus Christ. And this gives us the hope of everlasting life. We can live in this hope every day. And this love of God is seen also in this, that all of this is true even today. It was not true only then when this Bible's portion was written, but it is true also today. When Jesus rose to heaven, His task did not end there. I have been touched personally by this farewell prayer of Jesus, which He prayed before He was taken and put on the cross. He prayed on behalf of His disciples that I would not pray that You would take from the world, but that You would shield them from evil. It was not God's plan that when God rose to heaven, that those believers that at that moment were believing would have went with Him. No. But God's holy purpose was that this will was for all believers of all time. And that is why the disciples had to stay here on this earth, and God gave this task for them to spread the gospel, and it is said as a mission, not only to the disciples, but to all God's children. And in this way, God's word and the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, has started from then up to today in His kingdom. Isn't it a miraculous matter that the same gospel that was preached then, that same gospel, through the power of God, we are able to proclaim today through His own? It is marvelous that even today, in the midst of us, we have God's congregation where the Holy Spirit influences, where Christ Himself is the King. And from here, it is proclaimed to all this forgiveness of sins, this gospel of Jesus' atonement work. And even today, this gospel is powerful. You, dear listener, also, you can secure to this gospel, whether you had a distressing situation, you can secure yourself to this gospel and you can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name in atonement blood, and you can be secured. And you, dear listener, who feel and search for what your foundation of faith is, this kingdom speaks of a sure foundation, and this gospel, God's power, is for everyone. You can also believe your sins, even your unbelief, forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, and start journeying together with friends of faith, with children of God. It is safe to travel together, trusting in the same God, understanding the same faith, and getting strength from the same gospel, and from one another, asking for guidance. And we have a mutual goal. It goes towards heaven. It is our goal of our faith that we once will reach home in heaven. At this moment, we can also secure ourselves here and believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And for myself also, I want to ask, can I also believe? I want to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, Amen.